Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are down to two real candidates and one delusional pretender here. The Arizona primary with the winner-take-all state of Arizona is coming up next. Bernie is still in the race on the Democratic side, and God knows why that's happening. And Obama has also nominated someone for the SCOTUS. Yes, I said SCOTUS. That's Supreme Court, by the way. And let's see. Trump, or the Trump supporters, or actually the detractors, or whoever it is, the whatever kind of media you want to call it, has tried to teach America a new word today, misogyny. So if you don't know what it is, look it up, because it's all over the place, and it'll probably be all the headlines tomorrow, because that's what he's being accused of now. And the I-4 has more accidents on it today than on any other day of the week. So you know what that means. Compare that with the fact that Hillary is still not in prison. And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Friday afternoon here on the American Adversaries. I'm Dr. Ken VX, sitting on this side of the desk with your host over there, Mr. Christopher Hart, one of the most righteous people you ever want to run into. Take it away, Chris.
Easy does it there now.
I'm sorry, a little fired up tonight.
All right, welcome to the show, folks. That's right, it is Friday. Thank God it's Friday, right? Getting ready for a big weekend, Palm Sunday and all. So thanks for being with us. 407-774-8255 is the number as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Not only is Dr. K providing some of the steam to propel this here vehicle tonight, but we also have in the studio with us Rick Brown, and he's going to be blowing off a little bit of steam a little bit later on in the show too. How you doing, Rick?
I am just happy to be alive.
We gotta get your mic up there.
Yeah, try it again.
Am I there?
Oh, he's on the phone.
There we go.
Right,
hey,
here we go.
Hey, look, there's a voice.
I am happy to be alive.
All right. Thanks for being here. All right. And, of course, you can be a part of the show, too. We got a lot to talk about. Also, a little bit later on in this hour of the show, the second half of this hour of the show, we're going to have Mona Malik back on with us, and she's with the Assyrian Aid Organization. If you remember, she was with us, I believe it was Monday evening, and we were talking about the State Department, you know, finally getting around to declaring what the Islamic State has been doing over there in Iraq and Syria, genocide. And in fact, they did make the declaration yesterday. She's been going over it, and she's going to give us the update today. But nonetheless, as I said, you can join us at any time. I want to thank all you folks for listening yesterday and participating in the show. And I got a lot of compliments, and that's only because you folks were so great with your suggestions for our very own departing Florida senator. And before you feel too sorry for the guy, just remember that he's leaving us in a situation which puts that Senate seat now in jeopardy, right? I mean, if he had run for re-election for the Senate, there's pretty much no question he would be returning to the Senate. I mean, you guys concur?
I mean, I agree. Yeah, there'd be no doubt he'd be heading back to the Senate.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why he still doesn't do that, unless, of course, he's got eyes on the governor's mansion.
Well, but he said yesterday he didn't.
That's been the big rumor, right?
He's going to do it.
Yesterday, and of course, he's probably sporting some pretty hard feelings right now and might change his mind after he gets a little time off.
Well, you know, once you receive that government paycheck and you miss it for a year or two, you probably want to get right back into it, you know. That way he doesn't have to really, you know, do anything.
Yeah, I really think he damaged himself.
Yeah.
You know, I think if he was smart, I think he would take a little time off, go lick his wounds, go heal up a little bit before he jumped back in.
Yeah.
It's just going to take a little while for voters to forget.
Well, I think he's feeling a little bit of shame and humiliation, I mean, which is natural in this sort of situation. But I think what is compounding the feelings for him anyway, this would be my speculation, is that when he turned and became the sort of Don Rickles imitator, right?
That's a very good analogy.
Yeah. Well, Trump used it first.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy.
It was used actually yesterday in our contest as a contest entry, suggesting that would be a good job for him now as a Las Vegas Don Rickles impersonator.
Of course, he won't be
writing his own material.
You know, I went up against Don Rickles for about 30 seconds once.
Is that how long it took?
It's how long it took.
and he blistered me. But afterwards, he was really cool about it because there was a bunch of us comics, and it was designed for us to go up and try to go against him. There's about 30 of us in a room,
right?
And I lasted a
like
little over 30.
The bull in the rodeo,
oh gosh, it was something. I mean, I got like maybe two or three shots in before I just got nailed to the wall.
He's had a lifetime of practice,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, but afterwards, he comes up to me, puts his arm around me, goes, "You know, you're pretty good, kid." And I'm
like, as only he can say.
I'm just going to lay here and bleed. It's okay.
One of my favorite movies is Kelly's Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
It's only because he's in it and he plays such a great character, Crap Game.
Oh, yeah.
But, anyway, I want to talk about something that's beginning to concern me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me back up a minute.
Okay.
All right. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal today, a front page story, and it talks about how the Clinton campaign is gearing up to go ahead and take on Trump right now. But it's not going to be your typical, say, political debate, dialogue, contest, but like we got even last time between Obama and Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now Obama early on was running the negative ads against Romney, the dog on the car, on the top of the car, the elevator in the garage for the car, and then when it came out, the 47% and all of that, you know, which is that's typical political gamesmanship. All right?
Yeah.
Nothing above and beyond the ordinary.
Right.
That's not what the Clinton campaign is talking about. Now, of course, they're going to do all that in spades. There's no question about that. Anybody thinks it won't be is deluding themselves. And I'm pretty sure Trump is aware of this. But here's what else they are intending to do. They are intending to stage protests, marches, and maybe even mount a major protest at the Republican convention this summer in Cleveland, all focused on Donald Trump.
Okay, who's going to be doing mounting the protests, by the way?
These liberal organizations being organized by the PACs that support both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders.
Okay, so mostly these are all Democratic supporters or they're left-wing liberals or whatever they are. Okay, so you know what that means? The reason they can do this, they don't have jobs.
Right. I'm sure they'll be propped up by SEIU and some of the other unions as well. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Motel sexes will be full.
Yep.
No doubt. And it's let's start calling them mercenaries.
Occupy okay? Trump.
Yeah. Right. These are liberal mercenaries, okay, who are being hired to create trouble.
Yep.
All right. Now, when they say protests and marches, what they really mean is riots.
More Chicago's.
Exactly.
There you go, yeah.
Exactly. And who is it going to be blamed on?
Trump.
Of course.
Sure.
You see? And even though they're telegraphing it, they're basically telling the world, it's in the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. You don't believe me? Go down to Publix and find you one. You can stand there and read it while you're there.
Look what they did in San Francisco. They blocked highways. They kept ambulance vehicles from getting to the hospital. They prevented people from getting to work. You know, but it's all okay because they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Now, okay, put that on the table. All right. But now, something else.
Hmm.
Let me turn my phone off over here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The news broke, I think it was last night, but it's been splashed throughout the news today, that one of Donald Trump's son's wife opened a letter at their house, and it had a suspicious powder in it.
White powder.
Ooh.
Last night, yeah.
What was it? What'd you
last
say?
Night. It was last night,
it was last
they
night?
Responded
okay.
pretty heavy.
All right, I fell asleep early last night. I, as soon as I got home, I ate and fell asleep pretty much. So I was out of tune, out of tune, or what do you say? Out of sync.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, and the wife opened the letter, and the powder spilled out. Initial tests show that it was not harmful, but nonetheless, and it threatened them, and it threatened their lives and their family. Now this is in a sense this is more or less typical. But I think that it's being exaggerated here. And here's what's been bugging me. All these self-righteous people who are attacking Donald Trump in the name of saving the Republic. Okay? And I could sit here and list them. I'm hesitant even to mention now people on other networks, but you know who we're talking about if you're aware. But our own Michael Medved today called Donald Trump a threat to the Republic.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
it is. And what is it doing? It's ramping up the rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if something happens, who has really been the instigator here?
Yeah.
Right? And when you think back about Trump and his attacks on candidates, there are only two candidates that I can think of that he attacked first in a political sense, in the political arena, who did not attack him first. Kasich attacked him first.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, Rubio attacked him first.
Mm-hmm.
Jeb attacked him repeatedly.
Yeah.
Christie attacked him first.
Yeah.
The only two who did not attack him first.
Carson?
No. What? Carson and?
Fiorina.
No.
Mm-mm.
Cruz.
Ah, yeah.
Now, the Fiorina had already been making attacks against him when he made the face comment. Yeah, well, actually,
yeah.
She had made some. They were policy attacks, but she had started going after him. She wasn't afraid of anybody.
Yep.
She is fearless. I'll say that about Carla Fiorina. She is a lioness, baby.
Mm-hmm.
All right, get out of her way or she will eat you alive. The attacks that came on Cruz and Carson were for the same reason. And in a candid moment, he admitted it at his last, when Ben Carson endorsed him. And that was, they had begun to threaten him in the polls.
Right.
Right? And so he felt necessary to go after them. And he did it in a fashion that he felt would be effective, and he was right. Now, that still, though, is in the playing field of political gamesmanship and their reactions to him. But when you ramp it up and you start saying that he is a threat to the Republic, that our Republic would be destroyed, that he is a modern-day Hitler, and, oh, yeah, this comparison has been made by one of the most listened-to radio talk shows in the country. And I'm not going to mention them because, like I said, they don't warrant me giving them any more recognition other than to say that they are a bunch of fools. Because what they are doing is they are fomenting hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might say, well, Donald Trump started. I don't care. Because they are the ones who claim to be the pure of heart. The great Christians, the great conservatives who are way above and beyond doing anything like this. Well, when one of the Trump family or entourage or Donald Trump himself ends up being the recipient of violence, are they going to sit back and say, well, he got what he asked for? I predict they will.
They will. They will indeed.
You know what happened to when running for president was an honorable thing to do?
When did that pass away? I don't know. It was always a bit of an illusion.
Yeah, and at what point in time does somebody who's running for it warrant this type of response?
Let's just say that if anybody thinks... Go ahead.
The Weather Channel.
How's that?
Because once you put something on 24 hours a day that is like that, that shows that we're depleted. We need entertainment.
Speaking of depleted, we got to take a break. We're flat out of time. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks, and thank you so much for being with us out there. That song is dedicated to all those losers out there thinking that Donald Trump is a threat to the Republic. I think that, Rick, you got it more correct. You just said a minute ago.
Yeah, when I was driving here, I was laughing because I was listening to Fox in the car, And they were lamenting how the Republican politicians and the Republic establishment were not coalescing behind Trump. And I'm laughing to myself thinking, isn't that the point? they wanted to know how we save the party if the Republicans don't get behind Trump. And who wants to save the party the way it exists today?
Yeah.
Certainly not me.
And Trump's not a threat to the Republic. He's more a threat.
He's a threat to their livelihood. He's a threat to their power and money trains.
That's the bottom line right there.
And the lobbyists are afraid, too, and that's why they're turning.
Yeah, do you not kind of see Mitch McConnell as the governor Mel Brooks played in Blazing Saddles, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get a harumph, harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. We got to protect our phony baloney jobs, gentlemen. That's what we got to do.
And that's what they are diligently at work doing.
That's what they're trying to do.
All right, let's get a couple of phone calls in here before the break. Eva is up first. Thank you, Eva, for being out there.
Yes, I just heard about Romney endorsing Cruz for Utah's election on Tuesday.
Right.
He just helped Donald Trump.
He might have. He might very
he
well
did
have.
Because I'm going judging by me.
Yeah.
We've been holding our nose and voting for the last 60 years.
Yeah.
They can't do it one time. Give me a break.
Well,
I urge everybody that I like Cruz, and I would support Cruz, but I urge everybody in Utah to vote for Trump because, just to stop the professional politicians and get them out of their cushy job.
Our affiliate in Utah appreciates
that. I was going to say, we rebroadcast in there. Right?
But actually, what the situation is Cruz desperately needs Utah. Trump stands to win Arizona, which is a winner-take-all state on Tuesday. And those are the two states that are up Tuesday. Utah is another caucus state, so advantage Cruz. Arizona, however, is a primary, and Trump is very well positioned to win Arizona. 52 more delegates. And that would be and if somehow Trump could pull off Utah, that would be a stake in the heart of the Cruz campaign.
Do we think that endorsement's really going to help, though? I mean, Romney let Utah down twice as well, just like he did the rest of the country.
It's a gamble.
Yeah, but he's still a contributor to the biggest religious organization out there in Utah.
It's obviously an endorsement from a Mormon to an evangelical Christian, which is trying to signal to the Mormon community it's okay to vote for him.
What? Maybe Trump ought to take out some billboards in Utah, just like the guy who had the six-pack beer ad in the Olympics. You remember that one?
No.
Oh, again, it was a whole local brewery in Utah, a state brewery, and he had a picture of a guy and five women. And he's holding up the six-pack and says, take one home for the wives.
That's hilarious.
So maybe if Trump would say, let your wives vote, he could dismiss that misogyny claim and just go forward from there.
Once again, it's right now it's anybody but Trump. That's pretty much what it is. Marco Rubio is rumored to be, if he hasn't already, while we went to air, I didn't see it, but he's rumored to be going to endorse Cruz.
I think you're underselling Trump here because he's going to fit in with the demographics in Utah because he's had multiple wives too. Ignore that.
All right, you're in a groove tonight. Well, Eva, thanks. I appreciate that. And in Utah, it might actually help Cruz, but elsewhere, it actually might be a blight on his reputation. All right, thanks, Eva. Appreciate it. John, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, you guys are really right on, I think, more so than everybody else. I kind of look at this from a psychological point of view. A lot of times, for instance, a liar will always accuse somebody of being a liar, or somebody who's untruthful will, the story. In other words, they always accuse others or project it onto the person that they want it to be.
Right.
And I think that Trump is just a story out of Revelation, so to speak, because everybody is revealing themselves.
You know, that's
every time they talk about Trump, They tell me who they are. They're not telling me who Trump is. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent. And so I'm finding out so much about people. They don't realize that they're actually revealing themselves.
You know, I started to write that idea down. That idea crossed my mind earlier today. Separating the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. These people are revealing themselves and what they're all about, where their real concerns lie. John, by the way, are you a psychologist?
No, I'm an amateur one, I've seen this throughout my entire life.
Yeah, I compliment you because
I was kind of one.
Okay, well, I compliment you because Dr. K is one. He teaches psychology at UCF, and while you were talking, he was over here nodding his head.
You're dead on.
That point he's making about projection is something that liberals do as a habit.
Yep.
And now we're seeing these others who we wouldn't normally associate with the liberal cause doing it as well.
Yeah, and as a trained psychologist, I love this format that we do with, you know, watching the people and listening to what they say, because I'm a student of Paul Ekman, whose body language.
Okay, hey John, that was a great point. Thanks so much, and please do call back. Okay, all right, thanks again for being out there. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're gonna have
all right, welcome back to the show, folks.
You got the American Adversaries coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer, and don't forget the free WORL FM AM app, where you can participate in our daily poll question. And we did get a poll question up today, and you want to talk about a timely poll question. Mick, lay the poll question on us, and what are the results so far? Okay, he's going to pull it up so far. I forgot we're just getting ready to get a guest lined up. Perfect time to ask him to do something else, right? Sorry, Nick. Anyway, the poll question tonight has to do with the NCAA tournament.
Chris, I'm back with you now. There's been a few upsets going on, a lot of years with the NCAA tournament. So I asked people how their brackets are doing, and your choices were, let's pull it up. Sorry, I was answering the phone there. You're still doing good. Good feeling about the tournament. I have no chance now. And the third choice was, good thing I filled out multiple brackets, because some people do that to cover their butts there.
Okay.
Right now, 75% say they have no chance, and 25% are glad they filled out multiple brackets. No one's feeling really good about this one.
It's tough. I think the odds are millions to one.
Well, I placed a small bet, just a little bit of a bet on Kentucky at the beginning of the
you old Shriner, you.
Hey, you know, I did. I put it on KU to win.
All right, we'll see. They got a good chance.
Yep.
Real quick, I just want to make a couple of quick statements, and we can pick this up later on in the next hour, and then we're going to take a phone call, and then we're going to get our guest on the line. Rudy Giuliani was on, I believe it was Hannity last night. I didn't catch it because, like I said, I fell asleep early, but I heard about it today. And evidently Rudy Giuliani was saying, look, the Donald Trump that we're seeing out there right now is not the Donald Trump that you're going to have as president. And once again, I didn't see it, so this is sort of a second or third person account. But in essence, what he said was pretty much what we've been saying here on the show for weeks, if not months. And that is that what Donald Trump is and what he wants to do is solve some major problems. And he's very serious. He's very disciplined. He's very focused. I believe Rudy Giuliani, the expression that was told to me, was focused like a laser beam. And what he does is he picks competent people. He puts them in charge of a project. And then he provides what they need to accomplish it, and then demands results. And if they don't get results, he finds someone who will.
You're fired.
Yeah. Now, also, is it Bernard Gorelick, who was the police chief in New York on 9/11? I get his last name mixed up with a Gorelick who was in the Clinton administration. Bernard, it's something with a G. All right. The chief of police in 9/11, New York City. The day 9/11 happened, the morning 9/11 happened, this is according to the police chief now, as most everybody was trying to get out of the city, he gets a phone call from Donald Trump. And here's what Mr. Trump told the police chief on the morning of 9/11, New York City, as the towers had come down. "I'm emptying my hotels, and we're all coming down there to help." And sure enough, a lot of hundreds of Trump employees showed up at Ground Zero to try to help. And amongst them, with no cameramen around, no reporters, nobody there to document it, according to the chief of police of New York City, was Donald Trump. I believe that says a little something about the man's character. Mm-hmm. And I think that all of these people who are flying off of the handle because they have lost sight of what I call the gamesmanship of politics, which is what he's been very good at playing. And they've been taking it off the deep end. Oh, he's preaching hate. He's causing violence. Even Ted Cruz this weekend, which is one reason why I think he lost so badly on Tuesday night, was he basically took the side of the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
He was making excuses for them. If not taking the side of, making excuses for them. You don't do that. You just encourage that type of behavior. And now we see in the Wall Street Journal, they're going to plan more of the same, only worse. Who's really responsible for that?
Mm-hmm.
It's these know-it-alls.
Well, and because of that, people who aren't even paying attention are picking up the mantra. I was talking to somebody today who works for me, and he says, well, Donald Trump's a racist because of what he said about this group and that group, and you know the groups. And I said, well, tell me where. Tell me where he was erased. Tell me where what he said wasn't true and accurate.
That's it.
But they have no idea.
Yeah, see,
but everybody's repeating the mantra.
Well, it's the soundbite society.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and Trump, in his own clumsy or calculated sort of way, is projecting that he is concerned about some of the basic tenets of conservatism. Now, all these people who claim he's not a conservative, and I recognize that he doesn't see himself as a conservative or a liberal. He sees himself first and foremost as a businessman, okay, who does what you need to do to accomplish goals.
And he had one job, which was to make money for his stockholders.
That's right. And as a job, his job
exactly
as the
it.
President of the United States will be to get results for the stockholders of the United States, which are the citizens.
He would have dated Hillary Clinton if it would have made money for his stockholders.
You better believe it.
Oh, no, I didn't need that image.
Well, that's his job.
Oh,
thank God it's not
taking
ours.
Your job too seriously. I think you need some time off.
Right.
You're thinking about dating her. You definitely need a vacation.
Speaking about people taking their jobs too seriously, though, it's all of these losers who are portraying him as this caricature, which he has created to win the primary, to win an election. Because politics is, yes, indeed, like professional wrestling. That's why he's behaving this way, and that's why he's being successful. And that's why the other guys can't figure it out. All they need to do is listen to this show, though. We'll help them out.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, Al, I'm going to have to ask you to call back because we have our guest on the line right now, and I had already set this interview up, and we need to get right to her. My apologies. As a matter of fact, if you want to give Nick your phone number, we will call you back to make sure you get back on the line. All right.
And I knew that Donald Trump was there on 9/11 because my brother was there as well.
And saw him.
Yeah, my brother's on the 34th floor of the second tower.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he saw him there.
He managed to get out. Thank God for that.
Well, he was a typical Marine. He was standing down in the foyer helping other people get out of the building, right, before the police finally grabbed him and threw him out.
Literally.
So, yeah, right as the other tower started to come down, he got shrapnel cuts on his arms and stuff. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Typical Marine.
A typical Marine. That's right. They go to where the trouble is.
Run,
they don't run from it.
Run into the trouble.
That's right.
Very proud of him.
All right. Well, somebody who ran into the face of some trouble was the woman we have on the line right now. She was on the show the other day, and she's representing a great organization. It's called Assyrian Aid. AssyrianAid.org is where you can visit them. And I hope you caught the interview the other day. If not, of course, you can go to our archive after the show where you can catch it. But she is the vice president of Assyrian Aid Society of America. So I'd like to welcome back to the show tonight, Mona Malik. Mona, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you again, Chris. Happy to be here.
Well, you got a little bit more reason to be happy tonight, I think, don't you?
That's right. Yes. As everybody has seen all over the news, Secretary Kerry did announce a declaration of genocide for the Christians, Yazidis, and Shias. So what ISIS is their atrocities are now declared as genocide.
Let me ask you this. Did the declaration go far enough or as far as you wanted it to go?
Well, I think the verbiage and his speech went a lot further than I thought, which was really great. The only part that I was really looking for, the one word would be our ethnicity, Assyrian. And, we were disappointed that that wasn't actually mentioned. We weren't referred to by our ethnicity as Assyrian, because when you don't do that, you've just knocked off about 4,000 years of our indigeneity in that area. So just, you know, when we are referred to as just by our religion, it insinuates that we have been there only the past 2,000 years. So that was a little bit of a disappointment, because he did talk about cultural heritage being destroyed, and he went on to mention Armenians and others, but not Assyrians. So we need to still work on that. But this was a big milestone, and we're very happy about it.
Yeah, I watched the speech yesterday as well, and I noted that too. And I was wondering if that meant somehow that Assyrians were left out.
No, because the only Christians in that area are Assyrians. And Assyrians stands for all denominations. There are Chaldeans, Syriacs, Church of the East. Basically, those are the three in Iraq and Syria. Any Christians would refer to Assyrians. But still, we really need to work on that terminology to include the ethnicity.
What will it mean right away for Assyrians in that region that are still there?
Okay, well, normally a declaration of genocide does trigger actions that should be taken by the international community, the United Nations, by the U.S. You know, U.S. is always leading all these efforts, right? And so what we're hoping for is that there is a more expeditious effort toward the liberation of the region from ISIS, so all ISIS-held territory that the declaration of genocide would expedite all that work, and then work toward a plan, sort of like a Marshall Plan type of reconstruction and rehabilitation of the region, to then help bring all the IDBs and refugees back to their to their homes and to their lands. So now is the hard work needs to happen, and we need to pressure our country and the international community and the United Nations to actually go ahead with those actions.
Well, I saw that it was the night that you were on the show, that very night, the House of Representatives voted, I believe it was 393-0, to encourage the State Department to make this declaration. Are you looking toward now for the House, for instance, to now encourage the Obama administration to follow through with exactly what you were just talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way, but I think we would go straight to Secretary Kerry and the administration and President Obama for that, because I think when we're, I think it would help, yes, to lobby our representatives and for everybody to do, you know, sort of a letter or email or, a call campaign to encourage now action to be taken in reference to this declaration of genocide. So, you know, we're going to work on it from all ends, direct through our representatives, any way we can through social media, any way we can.
Yeah. You know, when I was watching the speech, he basically went through a litany, a laundry list, if you will, of the atrocities that the Islamic State has been committing, and even admitted in the speech that by their own admissions and their own ideology and their own actions, they have, achieved the rank of genocidal. Did you ever get the feeling that, then what took you so long to figure it out? That kind of ran across my mind there.
Right. Well, that's why in the past couple of months, I think in the last time, you know, when I was on the show, we talked about the kind of work that we've been doing that culminated into the press conference the week before by the Knights of Columbus and in defense of Christians. So there is a 278-page brief that I can send you a link to, and if you want to post it on your website.
Please do. We'll do just that. And we'll also link to your website as well.
Right. So that 278-page brief is mostly testimonies that we helped in collecting from the victims that escaped from ISIS, mostly the victims that are in the camps in Erbil and the Duhok areas of northern Iraq. So I think that helped them. They asked for that 2 months ago. The State Department literally came to Knights of Columbus and in defense of Christians and said, we need proof. So work on it. And then they came to us since we have people on the ground to help them collect the testimony.
Once again, folks, we're speaking with Mona Malik. She is the vice president of Assyrian Aid Society of America. You can visit them and find out more about it at assyrianaid.org. And the Assyrian culture is one of the oldest cultures existing still on the planet. You said the other day it's some 6,000 years old, your culture?
Yes. And I can also, I already sent you an email with some of the archaeological sites that exist there. And you know, once the area is stable and secure and it's pretty easy to fly into, it would be a great destination for tourists who love archaeological sites, religiously historical places. It's basically touristically untapped. It's one of the most beautiful places on Earth.
And that's one of the tragedies about what's going on over there. If there were peace in the region, there would be prosperity galore, believe me, because there are many parts of the region that are virtual paradises. And then, of course, you have the historical aspects and the religious aspects that go along with it. It would be a great... a great thing. Have many of those archaeological sites been ruined by the Islamic State?
Yes. The site of Nimrud was literally bombed to smithereens. It's gone. Then I don't know if you remember seeing, but there was articles and videos of the large Lamassu, which is called, it's like the winged bull. And copies of it or some of the originals are in the British Museum, in the Louvre in Paris, and in Berlin. They were hammering it, and they actually had a hard time destroying it because it was, just the way it's built and the size of it and everything. So, yes, there's been many sites that are... that have been destroyed. And the ones that are not destroyed and that are still in an area where, ISIS isn't, they're really not taken care of. There's a huge aqueduct, which is from 700 BC, where there's cuneiform writing where you can just go and touch. So people have, written graffiti all over it and things like that. There's another one that I sent you where it's... five Assyrian kings, like a bas-relief of them, and that is around 4,000 BC, and it's been used for target practice. So the local governments are really not taking care of these things. It's not their priority because it's not their own history.
Are you hoping that, and I know that you can't get into politics and endorse candidates or anything like that, but just in general terms, are you hoping that the next administration will be more aggressive in dealing with the Islamic State?
I think they're all the same. This is something that will be ongoing. I don't know what the agenda is or why it took them so long. Why we even went into Iraq and, all that. I think this is something that just keeps on rolling like a train, no matter who gets in. But, of course, we're always hoping that there is a more favorable attitude toward that area to really help out. But at the same time, I think our administration now and the future one just needs to realize that we are willing and able and capable of really doing all this work ourselves and securing our own area. We just need the finances for it. So we're not asking for American boots on the ground or to risk any American lives. It's just that the funds and need to go in the right hands, basically.
You just want the ability to defend yourselves and stand up for your own homeland.
Right.
All right. And so other than contacting you through your email, excuse me, your website, is there anything else our audience can do to help you out?
Well, I will send you some, you know, just for their interest, just to see how rich and, you know, religiously, historical, and archaeologically significant that area is. I will send you some links and also this 278-page document. And, of course, our site, AssyrianAid.org. And they can really find out a lot of history about that area.
And once again,
you don't really hear about it on the news very much.
Right. And speaking of history, like you said on the show the other day, the Assyrians were one of the first cultures to accept Christianity, and mm-hmm. Jesus himself spoke your language.
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
And it's still a living language.
And we need to keep it alive. We need to keep it alive because it is a link to Christ. Right?
That's right.
Thank you so much, Mona, and we'll stay in touch as this progresses, because as you said, this is like a train that's just rolling down the track, and it ain't going to stop anytime soon. So
and I'll tell you thank you in the language of Jesus, which is Basima Rabba.
Can you say it one more time?
Basima Rabba, which means thank you very much.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to talking to you again.
All right, Chris.
All right. You have a great evening. That's Mona Malik, AssyrianAid.org. And I don't think I've ever gotten a better thank you.
Nope.
We'll be right back.
Very nice.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Literally, this is just in time to tell you we got to take another break. That interview went long, but it was a fascinating interview, and I hope you'll help AssyrianAid.org. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversary Show.
FM 105.5 at AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision 2016.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the artist. When I'm a road.
Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, it is 6 minutes after the hour. You are tuned into the American Adversaries here, the American Adversaries in prime time, drive time show. I'm Dr. Ken V. Hicks, sitting on this side of the desk. Across from me is Mr. Christopher Hart, sitting there. Sorry, I got a little tongue-tied. We were talking about a lot of stuff during the break. And we're just here on a Friday afternoon. I-4 is still a mess, and Hillary is still not in prison. So that's pretty much a wrap-up of the first hour and a great interview we had.
Thanks. But things, who knows? I-4 will eventually clear up, and eventually Hillary may find herself behind bars.
You know, they found a video of her now that shows she actually knew that she was doing wrong when she had the server up.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Haven't seen it yet. I just heard it on the news before I came out here.
Shame on her.
Yeah.
All right, that is Dr. Ken V. Heck. I am Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. Also in the studio with us tonight is Rick Brown. And you can be a part of the show, too. All you got to do is pick up that phone, give us a call at 407-774-8255. I want to change up the subject just a little bit here for a few minutes anyway. Mm-hmm. On April the 7th, the Bring Small Businesses Back tour is coming to Orlando. And if you haven't registered for this, if you're a small business person or a business person of a large business, this is an event that you're going to want to attend. It is being hosted by Fox commentator and nationally known pollster Frank Luntz, and also our very own syndicated radio host Mike Gallagher, who's on these very stations every Monday through Friday morning, 9 to noon. And then also JCN president and CEO Alfredo Ortiz is going to be there. And this event is all about what it's going to take to create, or I should say recreate, the environment for healthy small businesses. Now, the JCN is the Job Creators Network. They are co-sponsoring this event. They are helping bring this to you. You're invited. It is free. You must have tickets, though. It's April the 7th. The doors open at 6 p.m. So we will issue you a hall pass from the American Adversary's 6 p.m. hour that evening so that you can attend this event. The tickets are free. However, you have to go online to get them. You can get them at am660theanswer.com. Or if you have downloaded the mobile app, you can get the tickets via that route. And if you have not downloaded that app, please do so, because you're missing out on taking part of our poll questions, and you may also miss out on 4,000 smackaroonies. That's right, $4,000 is going to be given away as part of the tax day bonus sweepstakes. It's easy to do. Just go to your app store and search for and then download the WORL-FM-AM app. And tonight's poll question has to do with the March Madness tournament. So, Nick, can you give us an update on that tournament? I see you're handling the phone calls in there.
Yep, they're coming in. But so are the votes here. We asked because of all the crazy upsets that are going on in the NCAA tournament, we asked, how are your NCAA tournament sheets looking right now? No one has voted that their sheets are looking good. But we have 75% of the vote in at they have no chance to win their bracket tournaments now. But 25% are feeling good because they filled out multiple brackets, which a lot of people cheat and do.
Hey, vote once. Vote often, right?
Yeah, vote early, vote often. The Democratic credo.
That's right. Okay, and we'll give you the final tally at the end of today's show. But one of the things that they're going to be talking about, the Bring Small Businesses Back tour, is when I said one of the things?
R is plural.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Some of what they are going to be talking about will be the overregulations and overburdened big government red tape and everything that businesses have to go through to comply just to do business.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that with Rick, because Rick's a small business person who's going through that right now. But perhaps Thomas will help set us up for this, because he wants to tell us why voters are mad. Thomas, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, you guys. I was listening to your AM 660 program and was excited to contact with you guys. In the last hour, you guys asked your listeners to specifically tell us, or tell you guys, why some of us Americans are upset about what's going on politically. And, I hear a lot about illegal immigration, which I'm very upset with that. I'm upset about income inequality and so forth. But I don't hear too much about being upset about the quality of health care and medical services in this country. This Insurance Reform Act with Obamacare. I mean, I do hear a lot of things about it. But I guess my question is, in regards to medical services and the quality of medical health care here in the U.S., there's a huge deficit when it comes to medical personnel. And there are a lot of I am a foreign medical grad, I'm an American citizen, but went to a foreign medical school, and I am in the process of trying to get my licensure here in the United States, but there's this huge demand for qualified professionals, medical professionals, to provide better quality and service for all Americans. And trust me, medicine is medicine no matter where you go out and in what part of the world you come from. And I was just wondering what you guys think about opening up maybe some more, you know, qualified personnel to be able to provide Americans with better quality and service in the medical field. I believe, and this is just my personal opinion, that there are nurses associations, even the American Medical Association, the physical assistant programs, and so forth, have a monopoly or control over the certification and licensing exams, and also a lot of the subspecialty programs in medical residency programs. And there's a lot of people who are trying to get into residency programs so that they can work in this country as medical professionals. You know, and I believe that they should be given a chance to be able to work in the medical field while they're in that process.
Okay. So, well, Thomas, thanks. Dr. Ken is a psychologist. He's nodding his head. He's aware of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And Thomas, you're very correct in saying that the AMA has really has a death grip on the licensure, the qualifications, the testing, and everything. They're the ones that have written the government guidelines for bringing in foreign students. Even if you had a license from outside the United States, you would still have to come in and jump through a whole bunch of hoops to get qualified by someone who's, quote-unquote, an American-trained doctor.
Right.
You'd have to do your internship pretty much all over again. There's so many different things that they've done to basically allow them to be in the catbird seat to decide who and where. And even if you did qualify, let's just say you qualified as a cardiology. Okay, I don't know what field of study you're in, but say you're a cardiologist outside the United States. You come in, and the AMA will go, well, you know what? We've got enough cardiologists. We want you now to be a pediatrician. So that's that's what we're going to have to do to you. You see, rather than taking somebody who has a specialty and increasing their abilities and allowing them to, you know, practice here, they basically put you where they feel they have the needs.
I see what you're saying about the AMA, but I think that's just an extension of the problem or part of the problem. Let's put it that way, because I think that mentality, if you will, is what's behind the government regulations and Obamacare. In other words, that they are going to control everything right down to the most minute detail. And at the end of the day, the quality of health care suffers as a result of it. And isn't that your bottom line concern, Thomas? Is that the quality of health care is suffering?
That is exactly correct, my friend. You know, I applaud people, no matter where you come from in the world, if you're able to sacrifice the time, the effort, and all the hours that most medical doctors and professionals, and I'm not saying just this profession itself, but other people, I value people's hard work and should be given a chance. But there are a lot of big, I would say, associations or groups that won't even allow people to get certified.
Right.
And I'm not even asking to be, like, again, I'm in the process of passing the USMLE exam. Mm-hmm. I've passed two exams, but I have to work. I have to provide for my family. It's not an easy task.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I've asked to challenge certain board exams because I know that I know what I need to know to get a good certification so that I can work in a hospital. But unfortunately, because of the control, it's a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
They control the certifications, they control the licensing exams, and there's no opportunities for people like me. I'm an American citizen. Yes, I had to leave the country to go to medical. My parents are foreign immigrants to this country. They did it the legal way. They came to this country legally. And when my dad got very sick, I left to my parents' country, which is South America and Colombia, and I stayed with them. During that period of time is when I had the opportunity to go to medical school, and I don't regret a single day the fact that I went to medical school out there. I came back to the United States with, you know, got married with my family, and I'm trying to make ends meet. And I've had to work, not to say that this is bad, but I've had to work at Walmart's, busboy, and I'm a medical doctor. Not to say that, again, I'll do whatever it takes. But my point is that there's no opportunities for people educated like myself who have the knowledge because these companies have large, control of the licensing, certification, and so forth.
And it's also, it doesn't fall in line with what the government wants. The government doesn't want high educated people coming in. They want people to work in the fields.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're going to have to take a break, Thomas. But listen, I think you're a new caller. I don't recall you having called before. I don't recognize your voice. I'm pretty good about that. Are you a new caller?
Yes, sir. I'm brand new. I was listening to your show.
All right. Well, listen.
And I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, listen, I want you to stay on the line and give Nick your address, if you don't mind, because one of our sponsors likes to reward new callers with a product that they have. It's all-natural, kelp-based, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. I call it Miracle Grow for your skin, because I use it on cuts. You can use it on cuts, burns, you name it. Dr. K uses it because he's a diabetic. And
works
this
great.
Stuff is it's just great for any kind of cuts, burns. And if you're a family man, I know you need to have some of this in your medicine cabinet. So
thank you.
Well, thank you. And actually, you've just set up the topic that we wanted to talk about anyway perfectly. And we're going to bring it up again as soon as we get back from the break. So,
and Thomas, what was your specialty, by the way?
Well, I'm just a general MD.
That's all right.
Hey, we need general practice doctors
all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind, after you give your information to Nick, if you don't mind, I can give you a call.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
You guys have a great day.
You be well.
You too. Thank you so much. All right. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time show, where Rick is going to give us his opinion of Obamacare. And I got a feeling it ain't going to be much better than Thomas's, which he was criticizing what's going on in that profession. But a lot of that is due to regulations that are now set down in law through Obamacare. So we'll be right back. Don't you just expect Charlton Heston to come walking through the door?
This is when they wrote really good music in Hollywood. You know? Other than John Williams, nobody writes good music anymore.
That is used as the intro music by the Genius, professional wrestler, the Genius. All right, Bill is on the line. Let's take Bill's phone call next. Thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being out there.
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to respond to the last caller before about the medical field.
Yes.
About the... Basically, what he's talking about is insourcing. He's talking about HB1 visa, and that's really destroyed our industry. The salaries have been stagnant for a long, long time, especially in areas of nursing and therapy and things like that. I don't know about the doctors, but anytime you bring people in like that on visas for a field that isn't, there is no limitation. I mean, there's no lack of people that want to do it. It's just the salaries don't go up, and then they go into something else.
Well, he's not saying
will go.
Bill, he's not saying that though. He was an American citizen who left the country to go to medical school and then came back. So
he went to medical school outside
of
the country.
So he doesn't need an H-1B.
Yeah, but see, he doesn't need the visa, the H-1B visa. He was already an American citizen.
He was arguing that the schooling isn't as accepted.
Right.
As
but
a result,
we don't know what the schooling is like outside of the country. He has to then reapply and set things up the way we had to do it here.
Yeah, well, see, part of the problem is, and this is where I wanted to bring this whole thing back around, is we have a shortage of people in the medical profession. Now, part of it's due to what you're talking about, and part of it's due to Obamacare and people getting out of the profession because they're not able to practice medicine anymore.
Or not be properly compensated. Let me use myself as an example. Say somebody's in a traumatic accident, and they need a full evaluation by myself as a neuropsychologist. Right? That's a two-hour exam that I typically bill somewhere around $1,400 to $1,500 for. Okay? Now, it goes back and forth between the insurance companies. I end up getting a check for around $78.
I know. And this is what I'm saying. This is the point I'm working toward. This isn't working for anybody.
No, it's horrible.
Okay? It's not working for the people in the profession. It's not working for the people who are seeking the treatment. And let me ask you, Rick Brown, is it working for you? You're a small business person who gets stuck at the other end of it.
It is totally not working well for us. As a matter of fact, it couldn't be working worse. I'm in the middle of completing my 1095 C's, and those of my fellow business owners who are in small businesses know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't, a 1095 C is now a document that has to be provided to people who are getting Obamacare by the people who it's being provided through or by, and that you have to have that so you can check the appropriate box on your tax return so that you don't get the fine.
Yeah.
And it's not working from top to bottom. We need to go back. And this, I believe, would address your concerns, Bill. I believe it would address Thomas's concerns. And I believe it would address Rick's concerns. And that is, we need to go back to a market-based healthcare system where people are responsible first and foremost for their own health care and their own finding their own health care providers, and people deal directly with as much as possible the health care provider in making the decisions and seeking the treatment.
I keep looking back to the good old days when providing benefits like health care and dental was a recruiting tool in order to find and keep your best employees.
Well, we were far better off back then. But you see where I'm coming from, Bill? Yeah, I understand what you're talking about, but what I'm saying is...
I just wanted to make sure that we all understood that the HB1 visas is killing us. Why do I go to school for 7 years and get a doctorate for physical therapy to make $80,000 a year?
Right. Yeah. Well, once again, this didn't apply to Thomas, but you make a valid point, and those H-1B visas are cutting across all industries.
Right. Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I know for a number of people, this is why Donald Trump is popular.
Yes.
Because
yes,
he wants, okay, he wants to put a stop to this nonsense. He wants to change... If you listen closely, and I've read his book, Crippled America, he is proposing market-based solutions for our country's ills. And for people not to see that as being conservative, I just got to scratch my head and say, well, I guess you're just not paying attention. You're just caught up in the showboating or whatever. He wants to address that because it is an economic issue, it is a health care issue, and it is an issue which involves crime. So, Bill, you make a great point.
Thanks for letting me talk.
The offer goes to you, too. Have you gotten any of this Roxy Pacific stuff yet, Bill? I guess he's already gone. All right,
okay.
I didn't catch him fast enough. This is a huge headache for a business person, right? I mean, this is something that has nothing to do with running a business, does it?
Absolutely not. And, you know, I'm in the process of filling out these forms for exactly the reason you said, but it's not just that. It's any employee who's worked 130 hours in a single month. So in some cases, I have an employee that didn't work 3 months and averaged 19 hours a week for the past year, but I've still got to complete a form for her because when she was out of school, she worked 140 hours in June. And the time and effort it takes to do that is just such a hit on productivity.
Well, you have absolutely nothing else to do because you're just running your business. So, you know, go ahead.
And, you know, the purpose of filling out these forms is so the government can decide whether they're going to fine me $2,000 per employee or not if I haven't provided the right people insurance.
Right.
And what really happens at the end of that is you end up, in order to be able to do that, you end up trying to find policies that fit the Obamacare requirements, and they end up being cheap enough that you can pay for them. And with ridiculous amount of
deductible,
so that does absolutely no use for the employee.
I know, and that's once again, nobody is benefiting from this. No one. It's affecting everyone in a negative sense because exactly you can't afford to pay the most expensive for all, you know, all of the employees. What you do is you pay for what will you comply with the law. Mm-hmm. And then it's the government who makes it basically worthless because the plan has these outrageous deductibles.
And what happens is you end up running your business with 100 part-time employees who are now underemployed because you can't let them get above the hour threshold.
And how does that affect your business? How does having under...
Oh, it's constant turnover.
Yeah.
You lack loyalty because they're working 2 and 3 jobs.
Yep.
Yeah, they're constantly leaving, and you've got to bring in new people and hire them, which is another cost hit. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the amount of time and effort it takes not only to do that, but then to do the ridiculous administration part on the back end, it's thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars that could be spent increasing jobs, giving people promotions, paying bonuses, continuing to hire and grow.
You mean actually running your business?
And actually running your business.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are the type of topics that will be discussed at the Bring Small Businesses Back Tour on April the 7th by Frank Luntz, Mike Gallagher, and Job Creators Network, Alfredo Ortiz. So if you're going through these same headaches like Rick right now, then you might want to get on out to the Bring Small Businesses Back Tour April the 7th. It's free. Go to am660theanswer.com to get your tickets. Or if you've downloaded the app, you can go that route as well.
Yeah, hey Rick, and just to let you know, back when the affordable health care tax was imposed on us, we were told that, you know, the deductibles would be manageable. I actually saw a couple for over a year and a half, never received a dime for because they had a $25,000 deductible.
Mm-hmm. All right, Al, stay on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we come back from the break. Thank you for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can be. All you got to do is call us at 407-774-8255. We will be right back.
Ah, I love hearing that music in the background, Nick. Anytime you play Depeche Mode, you got my heart for that. But, you know, Enjoy the Silence is not really a good thing if you're on a radio, because dead air just doesn't work. You're listening to the American Adversaries here on 660 AM, 105.5 FM. Dr. Ken sitting over here, or across me, over. You got your host with the most, that's Mr. Christopher Hart. And Rick Brown sitting here off to my right. We're just talking about Obamacare and health rates and all this other neat stuff. But, where are we going to go now?
I tell you what, between Obamacare and the EPA and these other regulatory agencies, it's amazing anybody can do business anymore.
You know, maybe they should just put a bubble over Washington, D.C. and see if they can anybody in there can live within those regulations that they put out.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah, but, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show about that thing in the mail I got today.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a letter in the mail today from a former bank. And they were referencing the fact that they knew I had recently sold a property, and they had solicited me to do a refi before I sold that property. And in the document, they were saying that I could qualify to get part of my mortgage interest back that I had paid in, because when they sent the offer for refi, they had mistakenly excluded welfare income as qualifying income to qualify for a mortgage.
And did you tell them you were on welfare?
I can hear blood squirting out of the ears of all my conservative
friends. I'm just sitting here going,
yeah. So not only that, but now I can get some of my mortgage interest back if I happen to have been on welfare because I didn't qualify for the loan because I was on welfare.
Chris, I will no longer be in on Fridays because I'm going to go on welfare. I've decided, damn it, I'm just...
Well, you go on welfare. Take out loans at banks you're not supposed to get, and then you recover the interest that you weren't supposed to pay.
I got this 2.6 mil house over here, and I want to go take a look at it.
It's nuts. It's
unbelievable.
Nuts. All right, let's go to
Does that come with an automatic EBT card?
Yeah, there you go. Let's go
to
can
pull
Al.
The equity line.
Al, thank you for calling and being so patient and waiting tonight. We appreciate you so much.
No biggie. Hey, with the Republican convention, where is that being held at?
Cleveland.
The mistake on the lakes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Check this out. So let's say there's a riot and it's huge.
Yeah.
Right? Is that grounds for Obama to call for martial law?
Not if it only happens in one, two, or maybe three cities. But if it were to happen all across the nation, don't know.
But you bring up a good point because it's in Ohio, and Kasich could bring out the National Guard and clear all the delegates out of there and, you know, vote himself in.
I like the way you think. Let's hope that it doesn't get to that. But unfortunately, you know, Al, I don't, you know, rule out the possibility that there will be a riot in Cleveland. I don't rule out the possibility that there would be trouble elsewhere. What I think, though, may put cold water on all of this would be if Donald Trump actually wins out. In other words, gets enough delegates, there will be no contested convention, that it will be a done deal, and that everybody will just have to accept it. Because, see, what everybody is living on right now is the hope, the prayer, if you will, that there will be some saving moment that will be able to drive the beast away and get the right person in there. And I don't think that's going to happen. I actually do think that Trump is going to win significant numbers of delegates. By the way, there are, of the delegates left, there's 22 states left. 217 delegates are in winner-take-all states, and he's looking good in pretty much all of those states. And then there's 354, which are winner-take-all by congressional district or statewide, and he's looking good in most of those states. I think he's going to win enough delegates, and I think it's going to put cold water on this. But if it doesn't, Al, I don't count anything out this year.
Yeah, hey, Al, let me give you if you like to read, there's a book you should pick up. It was written it was in 1935 by Sinclair Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called It Can't Happen Here.
Right.
And it's phenomenal how much it's paralleled these last 8 years.
Yeah.
And what happened at the convention in the book, that has the potential of what you were just talking about here.
Yeah, and of course you're aware that if that were to happen, that Bernie Sanders wouldn't have a chance of being president either.
Yeah, so.
He doesn't have a chance anyway.
Well, he doesn't ever.
He should. I mean, if you took away the superdelegates, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, so what's happening in the Democratic Party, they're already doing what they are threatening to do to Trump. You know, so
they're fixing the election.
Yeah, it's exactly what's happening. And it's just going to make people more and more angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Al, God bless you. Thank you for being out there and patiently waiting. Appreciate that.
It's a good book, though. Scared me.
Yeah. Well,
bothered me.
It should.
It's a good book.
It should. But, you know, the whole thing with the Obamacare, not only is it a nightmare, you know, in terms of having to comply, not with just buying it and paying for it, but comply with all the paperwork and stuff like you're talking about, the tax forms and everything. And by the way, it's complicated taxes for everybody. I mean, everybody's tax. I prepared taxes for 35 years. I don't do it anymore except for a few friends. But it has complicated everyone's taxes. What used to be simple questions are now a nightmare to get the right answer to it.
Mm-hmm. Reading the instructions for the 1095 and 1094 is almost a comedy routine.
Oh, yeah.
It really, really is.
Oh, yeah. And they'll have you going back and forth from one to the other.
I was laughing. Yeah. I'm reading it. I was like, really?
And a lot of it's because they don't know what it's all about. See, this is the ironic part, is that the government who are writing these regulations, they don't understand it.
Yeah. The chart showing you how to fill out the form. And Ashley says, this part isn't clear, but this is how we think it should be filled out, from the government.
That's what I'm talking about.
And don't call us for advice, because we may be wrong.
Right.
And you'll still be held accountable.
That's right.
Exactly. If we give you the wrong advice. Yeah,
that's exactly right. At the end of the day, you are responsible to comply, even if they don't know how to tell you what that means.
But they did raise the fines for small businesses last June to $500,000 with a maximum of $1 million.
Oh, wasn't that nice of them?
Mm-hmm.
And once again,
where does that money go?
Out the door, out the window.
Yeah, I would just love to know.
Into welfare payments with people trying to buy homes.
That's right.
There you go, baby. That's why you got that extra letter. Had to pay for postage.
And the diapers now, we know, too, right? But it's insanity. It's just the whole thing is insane. And all we've gotten out of the Republican Party in response is we promise, we promise, we promise.
Yeah,
and they just have not delivered.
Falling flat.
And yes, they have had chances to deliver, and they have not. They just are willing to go along to get along and not upset. What did you call it? The movie thing?
We got to protect our phony baloney jobs.
Phony baloney jobs. And
Blazing South. I think I'll watch that tonight just for that second.
Just for the heck of it, right?
You know, I said it last time too. I said Donald Trump is their Frankenstein. They could, you know, the establishment, right? And the liberal socialist left, they've created Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, they want to kill the monster.
Yeah.
But he's their fault.
That's about the size of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you weave that in with what I've been calling as a historical element, in the sense that history is on his side. Mm-hmm. He's going to be hard to beat, and it's going to be dumbfounding to a lot of people. There's a professor out there. His name is Helmut Norpoth. Some of you might have heard of Helmut Norpoth. He's at Stony Brook University. I don't even know where Stony Brook University is. Do you know where that is? It's probably in New York somewhere.
Just, you know, second start of the right, straight out till morning kind of place.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, Helmut Norpoth has accurately predicted every presidential election since 1976, I believe it is. And he does it using basically a formula, and he runs it now.
He has an algorithm. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Algorithm, right? And recently he made the news because he came out and said that his algorithm, his program showed that Donald Trump had a 97% probability, not chance, but probability.
That's science speak for chance.
Okay. All right. Probability of becoming president, 97%.
Okay.
All right, well, he was on the Varney show this morning on Fox. I was watching before I left for work. And he says now it's 87%, but it's still a very significant percent and way ahead of anybody else. And the reason it came down wasn't because of anything that happened on the Republican side. It was because of Hillary doing much better this past Tuesday than his prior calculations had shown her doing. So when he put in the results for Hillary for Tuesday, it changed the equation. But the variables that were there for Trump were the same.
So if he has an 87%, does that mean Hillary has a 23%?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
But
he has different percentages calculated for each individual candidate.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
And because different factors are at play, but this is far greater than anybody else.
Right.
And he went on to explain some of the reasons why. And one of the reasons was he talked, you know, things about this election cycle and like what you're talking about with the Republicans having created this environment, Frankenstein, as you put it. But he also talked about that there are larger, more historical cycles at play, cycles that he has noticed that have played out over our 200 plus years history of electing presidents. And he said, and this cycle is what he called the change cycle, that this is going to be a change candidate. In other words, Hillary Clinton tying herself closely to Barack Obama and saying, I will continue what he's doing, is driving a stake in her own campaign. So keep it up, Hillary. More of the same. Because that's what people do not want. More of the same. They want something different. They want it radically different. They want a radical change. And he's riding along with what you're talking about. He's riding that historical change of wave of change. And because he and Bernie's benefiting a little bit from this too, because he comes across as a change candidate. For them, it's change, more socialist change, right?
Right.
But it's nonetheless, he's presented himself as a change from Obama, not the same as Obama. But of all the candidates from either side of the aisle, it has been Trump who has been characterized as the most radical change. And if you listen to his critics, they are doing nothing but reinforcing that notion when they say he'll destroy the Republic, he'll destroy the Republican Party. What are they actually saying? He will
destroy their livelihood.
Well, and that too. But that he will change things.
Yeah, it's gonna
that
change
he
it.
Will change things. Yep. And if you look at the exit polling, one of the things that people want is they want this country going in a different direction. And they feel like not only will they not get that from Democrats, but they won't get it from Republicans either. So they're looking for something that's a little bit different. And he fits the bill, does he not?
He does indeed.
He certainly does.
All right.
It's different.
That's for sure. Let's go to Sherry on the line next. Sherry, thank you for calling tonight.
Hi, guys. How are y'all doing?
Hey, sure.
Hanging in there.
Dr. K, I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, you know, we had...
Although, you heard, I'm going to go on welfare. I'm not going to be on the show anymore. I got to go buy a house.
He's got to work up a down payment, yeah.
Well, you know, we've had Chris working his butt off, you know.
Literally.
Without you and without Mike Macbeth for the last couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just so glad you're back. You're like, you both, all of you, and even Aubrey Kahn, you're the icing on the cake, man.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
But anyway, Rick Brown, I just want
to
say something to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so sorry you lost the election.
Me too. You know, for those that don't know, Sherry was my first political contribution when I ran the last time. I so appreciate you.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, you came over to my house that day.
I did.
Pulled up in that classic car, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he gave me a sign. I could not throw it away. I still have it. I moved it about 50 foot back on my property.
It's still I wish there. You'd send me a picture of that.
And he goes, why does he throw this sign away? It's almost 2 years old. I said, no, I'm just waiting for Rick Brown to run again to get rid of that creep that liberal creep that's out of my office, man.
I love you, darling.
I still have it. And when I leave my house and when I come home, I see Rick Brown, re-elect Rick Brown. I have not thrown it away. It's
outstanding.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it.
My next point is the lady you had on Mona. I tried calling you. I was wanting to give Nick a message for you to for you just to ask her, not so I could talk to her. Today on CBN, they had the, when they were talking about on CBNnews.com, if yep. somebody can send her an email, Pat Robertson on the 700 Club,
yep.
they did this whole spiel about the Assyrians.
Oh, good.
And I don't know whether she knows it. I kept calling the number and nobody would answer.
Oh, that's, well, Nick was, he was
busy.
Yeah, he was taking care of some technical stuff for us.
Well, honey, I understand that.
Training for a marathon. Let him alone.
You know, but maybe she needs to know that I could.
We'll follow up.
I had to leave early.
Yeah.
I saw the show, and then I had to leave, and I didn't write anything down, because I don't remember if I don't write something down.
Yeah, okay.
And, but anyway, one more thing.
Yes.
I heard the other day, and I don't know if it's true. Maybe you can check it out, Chris. Little Marco is going to get a pension for being a senator for 6 years.
Yes, he will.
That's right.
The rest of his life.
Yes, he will.
Yep. That's correct.
And that should not be. I worked 33 years in my job, and I had 8 part-time jobs in that 33 years, and I got some piddly pension. And how can he work 6 years and get money, which is probably more than I'm making from my pension right now?
He gets 100% of his pay.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And to add insult to injury, they call themselves public servants.
Yeah. He gets 100% of his pay. He gets full medical for him and his family.
Yeah, I wish I'd get that kind of servant treatment, right?
I'm going to have to call the city manager over there in Winter Springs and find out where my pension is for the 8 years of part-time work I did.
Well, there you go. Maybe they'll send you a welfare card.
And I showed up for the welfare payment. Yeah.
And I showed up for votes.
Yeah. Ah,
well, Sherry, you keep
Love
that
you,
sign.
I'm sorry you're not there, but I hope you get back, okay?
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. We
thank you, Sherry.
Guys. Have a good weekend.
Right. Thanks, Sherry.
You do the same. You do the same.
Bye-bye now.
A Stony Brook University is on Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island in New York. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, were all those thank gods you're back sort of backhanded?
No, don't.
Chris needs your help.
You're looking at it the wrong way. Now, this is me coming from the psychologist side.
Just teasing with
just
you.
Take all a deep breath.
And welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time. I'm Rick Brown, sitting across the desk from Christopher Hott and to the right of Dr. Ken. And we are back for the rest of the show.
I don't think anybody could be to the right of me. I'm pretty, pretty far right. It's amazing I still work at UCF.
It is.
And as Professor of the Year.
I was going to say, it was one of the most popular professors out there.
Oh, yeah.
Golly. All right, let's go back to the phone lines for one last call tonight. About all we have time for. Diane, you are up next, young lady.
Hey, you. I just called to talk to Nick to try to get that smartphone thingy on my phone.
You do, because you need to start registering for that drawing, young lady.
I know, but I don't own a smartphone. I tried to do it on my computer, and he said that didn't work.
Yeah, when you have that little dial phone, it just doesn't register quite well.
No.
Yeah, it just, you know that rotary dial, it just doesn't work.
Those are coming back.
Maybe an old touch tone.
You watch. Those will come back.
I own one. Thank you.
I
got one in the closet, too.
I was up in Independence, Missouri over the weekend, because I was looking at starting that new football team, and I went into City Hall, and they actually had a payphone hanging on the wall.
Really?
You know, and I was surprised to see that it wasn't rotary and didn't have a museum sign hanging over top of it.
Well, yeah, you have to have a smart device, either a tablet or a smartphone.
That's what, yeah. Nick talked me through it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that, but if you've been thinking about getting one of those, now you have a better reason to do it.
No, I don't have a reason to get one. My husband has one.
So. Get him to do it.
Well, no, Diane, that just proves you and your husband both work, right? Otherwise, you get a welfare phone for free.
get Jim to do it. That way you can
he tried, and he's almost as computer illiterate as I am.
Hey, nobody is more computer illiterate than me.
That would be me.
We're in a race to the bottom.
All right, you guys start a club. Let's move on.
We'll start one of those groups. What do you call it? Group counseling groups, right?
But how would you get in touch with everybody?
I don't want group counseling. I'll tell you what, the only phone that works in the neighborhood when the power's gone and the everything is that stupid old-timey phone we have.
Yep.
Everybody was using it during the hurricane.
Yeah, same here.
I've got one.
The landline was.
Yep, got the landline. I plug into the outside jack, and I'm good to go.
Okay, don't talk about that. I've been trying to get rid of mine for years, and my wife won't let me for just that reason.
Okay.
So as a result, we pay $1,500 a year for two phone lines.
We didn't mean it. That was all a lie.
It's all good.
All right, Diane. Thank you. Thank you
love
for calling.
Love you guys. I love you, Chris, even though you drive me crazy.
See, it's that friction that makes the whole thing work.
They do love you.
Thank you, Diane. And thank you for tolerating me. And, yeah, folks, please, if you can, if you have a smart device, download the free WORL-FM-AM app. You can participate in our daily poll questions. We're getting ready to give you the final results for today's poll question, and there'll be a brand new one up Monday. And then also, you'll be able to participate in other games and contests. You'll be able to do the talk back feature. I don't know if anybody's even done that yet. We'll have to find out where you'll be able to call, or excuse me, use the app. To leave a voice message. And who knows, we might end up playing it on the air. And also, there's this $4,000 tax bonus sweepstakes going on. Tax day bonus sweepstakes. You have to have the app, though, to register for the sweepstakes. Some one of you, I hope, who is listening to me right now, will win $4,000. And you can register every day, once a day, but you can register every day between now and April 15th. Did I get all that right?
Well, Chris, I do want to clarify the tax day bonus sweepstakes. You don't need the app to register for that one.
Oh.
That one you could go directly to am660theanswer.com and click on the banner there and register, and you could do that every day.
Okay. You told that to Diane.
Yes, yes.
Okay. She still can't do it with her rotary phone.
Right. So okay. Anybody could, and there's a link through the phone. Now, it still counts as like one register. You can't do it on your phone and online. It'll count you. It will say invalid if you try to do both.
Boy, we need to set that up at the polling place.
Right? Don't go there, because then you're going to want to check IDs, and God knows what that'll start.
Okay, all right. So you don't have to have the app to get in on the sweepstakes, but you do to do the poll.
Now, exactly.
What's our poll today? The question and the results.
The question was, due to all the upsets on the NCAA tournament, how are your tournament sheets looking? A lot of people fill out the brackets. Still no one saying it's looking good for them right now. We're up to actually 80% say they have no chance to like win their office pulls and everything now because their bracket's all messed up. But 20% said, good thing I filled out multiple brackets.
All right. Thank you, Nick. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in that poll, and those of you who have. And once again, to clarify, you can register for the sweepstakes online at am660theanswer.com. And also, that's where you can get your free tickets to the Bring Small Businesses Back tour, where you'll be able to go and voice your frustrations like Rick did on the show tonight.
And I appreciate that opportunity.
Like Thomas and Bill also did.
Hey, did you vote this week?
I did.
You know, I went and they asked me for a photo ID, so I showed them the picture of me with Arnold Palmer, and the guy took it. Good luck to everybody in the tournament this weekend.
That's right. Night, everybody.
Bye.